Welcome to The Vinyl Exam. I'm your host, Keith, and this is episode 160. You know, sometimes I can just tell when it's time to do an eclectic mixtape. Generally, I'll come across some really interesting songs or some albums that probably won't work in the context of a full episode, but warrant some conversation and some time. They build up, and at some point, enough of these tracks gather and an eclectic mixtape forms. So let's start out with a record I first heard about a year ago in San Jose. I was searching through the bins and listening to a conversation the owner was having with a customer. The customer asked for recommendations, and he recommended this record, then threw it on. This is the Duran Jones and the Indications LP from Coal Mine. Now, I've been buying Coal Mine stuff for a long time, but this was and is one of the shining gems of their catalog. Much like the instrumental funk of Desco and Daptone found its greatest voice with the late, great Sharon Jones, this record feels similar for Coal Mine. There are stupid beats on this thing, too, and the tempos vary from slow jam to up-tempo dance floor groove. The best part? According to an article on NPR, this album cost $452 to make, which supposedly included the beer. To quote drummer Aaron Fraser from the article, "You don't need a lot of money to make something that sounds beautiful. You don't need a lot of know-how to make something that is engaging and authentic. You just need good friends and a karaoke mic." An area I've been thinking about for a long time, and have finally started to buy some records behind, is the period predating the birth of heavier metal in the 1980s, specifically thrash metal and death metal. There are a few influences that play in heavily, two movements specifically being the new wave of British heavy metal and its speed and melody, and the fuzzed-out proto-heaviness of bands like Blue Cheer, Dust, and the like. Of course, the biggest influences were the biggest bands, Black Sabbath being the most obvious. Less obvious are bands like this one, Uriah Heep, who crafted long, progressive songs, fantasy soundscapes, and new ideas to rock that would influence countless bands going forward. This is the title track from the Magician's Birthday LP, my personal favorite Uriah Heep record. The band had found their sound here and matured in terms of the craft to create a proggy, heavy rock masterpiece. In the magic garden, some were singing, some were dancing, while the midnight moon shone brightly overhead. Stars so gaily glistened, and the Sphinx in silence listened to the magician tell of lives that he had led. Let the bells of freedom ring, songs of love to Friday's king. found out about this next record by searching the Vinyl Me Please store. I try to make a habit to listen to all the records I don't know about because, hey, you never know, right? Well, this one in particular caught me by surprise. It's a great update on Piano Rock. I hate to make these type of comparisons because it's so obvious, but it reminds me a lot of Elton John. Now, this type of stuff, Elton John, Piano Rock, etc., isn't generally my thing, but I really dig this record, and the album is an entertaining listen beginning to end. This cut is Hello Cruel World from the 2017 Across the Multiverse LP.
Hello Cruel World, are you real or just a dream? And will I ever find some meaning like the pretty folks on TV? So long.
I was in Factory Records Costa Mesa recently and came across a record called Brown Acid, a compilation series of forgotten 70s rock. Back to the comment earlier on the progenitors of heavy metal, this compilation series occupies that space. Now, I could try to say this, but honestly, the liner notes do a way better job of summing up the record, so I'm going to read a little bit from the liner notes to flesh out the compilation's ethos. The 45s these bands produced, mostly independently, were glorified demos given to record executives or sold for gas money. Generally speaking, a few hundred copies were sold direct to fans at local gigs outside of any kind of distribution. These pressings have since become highly sought-after rarities and fetch serious coin when they're offered up for sale, hence the need to compile some of this material. Hey, I couldn't have said that better myself. And here's one of my favorite tracks from the LP, this is the Volume 1, One of the Bad Guys by Tor.
We'll be right back.
I was so certain that I've already played this last track on the vinyl exam already. I spent 30 minutes queuing up previous episodes thinking the track would be there. Apparently I haven't, so we're going to close out this eclectic mixtape with it. Now this is one of my favorite songs to play for friends. It's from a 1977 album released by Denon in Japan. About 70% of the album is how this track leads off. Atmospheric soundscapes of keyboards and the distinctive shakuhachi flute. These parts of the record evoke images of fog-covered mountains and mist-enveloped valleys. I like throwing this on and beginning a conversation, because at some point, the funk kicks in. Now this record is the not-so-hard-to-find-but-kind-of-expensive Kamuso World and Shakuhachi. And yes, there are a few more chunks of funk just like this on the LP. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with me on this episode of The Vinyl Exam. Of course, if you want more Vinyl Exam, you can head on over to our website. That's www.thevinylexam.com. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon. If you haven't checked out our Patreon page, head over there and see what it's all about. On that note, of course, I'd like to thank our official Vinyl Examiners through Patreon, Brian Siebold and Yan Wong. And our executive producers, Janine Cuevas, Austell Gray, and Ben Lack. Thank you so much. Thank you one last time. I hope you dug this episode of the Eclectic Mixtape, and I'll see you next time.